You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 186. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Today was a big whole shipping kerfuffle I told you about off air, but some success. I received some pants. I came into a couple hundred dollars of money because my collective bargaining agreement at my old job was signed, and so they paid out some monies. And I bought some pants because I was well overdue. Put them on, fit great, everything was perfect, exactly what I wanted. At dinner time, my wife's like, "What is that on your pants?" And I went, "What do you mean?" And panic struck because I know how I am, and oil always finds a way to land on me somehow. That's why I need pants, because I always have oil stains or something on my pants. Constantly. I don't know what my problem is. Anyways, I look, and it's like behind the left leg, just under the butt, there's this big black stain. I'm like, what the heck is that? There's snow everywhere. I'm not rolling around in dirt.
Yeah.
It's not, it was dirt. That's all it was. Okay. I was rubbed it out with some water and some soap, just like panic going like, I ruined these brand new pair of pants. Thankfully, I did not. Crisis averted. They're in the dryer right now. That was my day.
Yeah, thank God. A little heart attack right there with your fresh pair of pants. Not good, my friend. You got to be a little more careful there, my guy.
First pair of pants in like a while, and I almost ruined them day one. Oh, boy. What's going on with you?
Nothing much, man. It's been a little bit busy with work, but luckily, I say this on the post-game shows every time, but after a nice long day at work, there's nothing like coming home, relaxing, and watching a good hockey team, which is, what we're going to be talking about today, Mitch.
Hell yeah, they're a good hockey, and I don't want to hear, sorry, hell yeah, they're a good hockey team, and I don't want to hear someone say the contrary.
Exactly. So let's jump right in here on episode 186. Our first topic we want to get to on the pre-pod article, I wrote legit or legit. And I did that purposely because there's only one right answer here. And it's that this team is legitimate. And I don't want to hear, like you said, I don't want to hear the excuse of who have they played. They're beating up on a bad team. Blah, 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 blah. All the list goes on and on and on. Mitch, this team is good, and I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're good. They're ranked fourth in the NHL right now. You can maybe even argue fifth because Florida has 36 points in 25 games, so higher points percentage. But regardless, if you just look at the stats sheet, the Islanders have 36 points from 26 games. That's the fourth or fifth best record in the NHL today. Only three teams have a better record than the Islanders right now. The Leafs, the Lightning, and the Hurricanes. That's it. That's the list.
That's a pretty good list to be included with.
Right. But there's so much more. Like, of course we hear them like, well, they played Buffalo so many times. Who cares? Who cares? Tampa Bay has to play Detroit. Toronto gets to play Ottawa.
I was going to say, I don't know. I'm not really good with geography, but I'm pretty sure that Ottawa is in Canada and there's a completely Canadian division, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are also in Canada. So from my assumption, the Toronto Maple Leafs get to play the Ottawa Senators, who are really bad at hockey, 8 times this year. Am I wrong at that assessment, or is that a correct take?
That is wildly accurate.
Okay. So at the end of the day, it's all going to add up here, and you have to play the schedule that's in front of you. And realistically, the only team the Islanders have really struggled against this year is the Penguins and a little bit the Flyers.
Yeah, like right. So it goes through the month of February, 5-2-2, when you don't. Sorry. Not 5-2-2. My God. They go 8-2-2 through the month of February, and the 2-2-2 out of all that is the Pittsburgh Penguins. Everyone else they beat. They beat everyone aside from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, obviously, Pittsburgh's, we know what they are. They've been the similar version of themselves for the last 10-plus years at this
point. Since they drafted Sidney Crosby.
They're a good team, so I get it. I don't expect them to lose every single game against Pittsburgh, but if let's just take the 8 games, how many times have they played them this year? Is it just 4? Are they 0-2-2 against them in the 4 times they played? Or is it more than that?
Against the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Yeah.
They're 2-2-2 against the Penguins just in the month of February.
They're 2-2-2, so they played them 6 times.
I'm quite certain. Yeah, they played them six times in the month of February. Now I'm doubting myself on air, and that's never any fun. But let me just bring this up here through NHL.com. So we're getting stats for the New York Islanders in the 2021 against all opponents. We're doing the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's just do this live here. They are, 2-2-2 okay. Two against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
So the point here is, let's just say let's pretend they split. They go 3-3-2 against Pittsburgh. Are you upset about that? The point is, no. These are two good teams, and if you're splitting against them, like that's when you make up the ground against the Devils and the Sabres of the world. The Islanders are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, is the point I think we want to make in this segment.
That's exactly the point we want to make. And they're winning. Yes, they beat the Buffalo Sabres, and they beat up on them pretty good over the last couple of days. But like you said, you got to win the games ahead of you, right? You play the game to win. Or you win the damn game, whatever the hell it is that Michael Wilbon said.
You play to win the game, Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards, there you go. Sorry, Wilbon always says it, so I just get it on him. But like, they're doing that, right? Like they have 16 wins on the season. That's great. They have the 36 points on the year. That's what you're supposed to be doing, is winning the games ahead of you. Who cares who the opponents are? If they're not great, awesome. Because for a while, the Islanders had this kind of... What's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of the actual word, but like they would play down to the opposition constantly, right? Like you'd face a bad team and they would be like, whatever, it's X team. We don't care about them. And then they'd lose like 4-1 and you're like, what the hell is going on here? They can beat the top teams, but they can't beat the bottom teams.
Right.
What's the deal?
No, absolutely. And it's definitely something that used to be a problem, but... Against the Sabres in that three-game set, they outscored them 15-6. So they did what they were supposed to do, and that's the thing. Like, you have to be able to do that, number one. And, like, there's some outlying numbers or just some things that make it seem like it's different than even the last 2 years, where they are 14th in the league in goals for. They have a decent power play. Over 20%. The penalty kill is good. They don't let in a ton of goals. They have five players over 9 goals on the season. So they're getting scoring from all over the place. Like, this is a deep team, and they should be respected.
I don't understand why you wouldn't respect them. Like, even their Corsi, they're not great Corsi, but they're middle of the pack. They're on the line of 50%. They're 50.04% at 5-on-5 Corsi 4. That's not the Islanders. No. We haven't seen that in a while. But that's great. That means they're not only scoring goals, but they're controlling the play more often than not. And even then, when they were winning, everyone could be like, well, they're not a good Corsi team. Remember Shark Odds loser? Like, I'm going to under-handicap them because they're not a good Corsi team. They're not a great Corsi team, but they're middle of the pack, top part of middle of the pack in terms of Corsi. That's what you want to see from a good team. They're doing the things that you would expect them to do, as in controlling the game. Same thing when it comes to expected goals for, I believe. I'm just trying to bring it up here. Where are the Islanders? They're sixth in the NHL in expected goals for percentage, that is. Not just expected goals for percentage, so counting the expected goals against, they're sixth with the 53.49. The best is the Montreal Canadiens at 55.74.
Okay.
Like, they're a damn good team, and they're doing so not only in the obvious departments like wins and goals and power play, but in the not-so-obvious ones when you look at expected goals for Corsi. They're doing all the things they need to do to win, but still, yes, they're getting attention in the national media, right? Like, the NHL has them on. Everyone's like, you can't doubt the Islanders. But still, they get like, well, they beat up on the Buffalo Sabres, huh? Come on. Like, what?
I know. It's frustrating.
Because, like, nothing they can do satisfies.
No.
Because they are. They're a legit team. Like you said, they're either legit or legit. Because they are too legit to quit, Matt.
So I don't know if you saw it, but I wrote something today because I was struggling with my feelings in this new level of optimism. And it's not that I wasn't optimistic about the team the last 2 years. I thought that, you know, that they are a good team, but how they're playing right now is giving me a different feeling than when I watched the team the last 2 years during the regular season. Maybe the playoff run last year might be kind of more where I'm at right now. The point being, I'm nervous to be feeling the way that I am right now about this team, but I am very confident to the point where my hopes are further than where the Islanders went in the playoffs last year. I'm a superstitious guy, so I'm not going to come out and say it. I don't want to be the one who gets hit with the, oh, you jinxed them. But that is where I'm at right now. I'm struggling coming to grips with that in my mind, so I wanted to put that out on paper today and write about it and see if anyone else felt that way or why the younger generation who maybe didn't get to see those four Stanley Cups in a row, why they don't have that same mentality. So maybe I'm setting myself to get hurt again, but I'm willing to take that leap now is kind of where I came to in my mind.
So are you getting to that point by this season in a vacuum, or are you getting to that point because of the season and the two previous to that? Like, is this a building towards where you are, or is this just I'm looking at what's happening now and that's why I am where I am?
No, building towards, because I saw how good this team could be when they were scoring the 21st or 24th number of goals for in a season. And if they're going to be in the top half of the league, they could really do some damage with, like, again, competent power play. What was their power play last year? Like 14%, 17%, something stupid like that.
It was 17.3 last year, 14.5 the year before that.
Exactly. Not good. So they're at 23.5, I believe.
Yes, 24. I closed that page. I believe that is accurate, that it's 23.5.
So there you go. They have a top half league power play, penalty kill, goals for, goals against. The great goaltending, depth scoring. I don't know what else you want.
Well, and that, I'm glad you answered the question the way you did, and started, like, it wasn't just this in a vacuum, it's the building on that. Because that's important, right? Like, exactly for the reasons you said. All the things that the Islanders were struggling with in the 2 years prior, they seem to have fixed this year, namely goal scoring and power play.
Yeah.
They're not a powerhouse goal scoring team. We just said they're middle of the pack, but they weren't middle of the pack in the years before that. You said, like, they're in the bottom half, 21st and 24th. I think that's going from 18, 19, 19, 20 respectively, is it not?
Yes.
And then overall, 24th, I think, as well, over those 2 years. Now, in terms of goals for, like you said, they're 14th with 74. Goals for per game, does that change much? I think that brings it down just a tad. They're 18th with 2.85. They're just at 3 goals for per game. When Barry Trotz teams score 3 goals, they typically win. And they're doing that on average, basically, right now.
Right, exactly. And that's why they've been on this win streak, and that's why they've been on this point streak. But it's hard for me not to get that confidence. And the only reason why I was hesitant about it is just because of how many times we've been beaten down and stuff in the past. And if you put that aside and just look at the last 3 years, right? The Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello era, because that's really the only fair thing you could do to the people who are in charge. You can't look back at other eras. They've given you every reason to buy in. So I'm willing to make that leap. And to say I'm putting myself out there, I'm willing to make that jump and say that I believe that they could do it. And whatever happens, happens, I guess. But I truly feel that way. It's not hyperbole. It's that's with the way this team is playing right now, I feel like they've taken their game to a completely different level that we haven't seen from them.
Well, just on that notion of, like, oh, you don't know, how do I want to say this? They've given you every reason to feel this way. When you look back, like, how many times have the Islanders been, like, just leading the division? Like, end the season, let's say, finish the division on top. When was the last time they finished first in their division? That was 1987-88. So not even dynasty years, but, like, not far off.
Right.
Right, they've never finished first. Yeah, they finished second once in 2001, 2002. Then they lost to the Maple Leafs in that opening round. But, like, the point that I'm trying to illustrate here, they did finish second 2 years ago in the Metro Division, and then got bounced by Carolina in the second round. But the point I'm trying to illustrate here is, outside of the Lou and Barry era, they haven't really been what you would call favorites. They've never been in a position of position of power, right? Of saying, like, they should be doing something. There should be an expectation to reach a high level from this team. That hasn't happened. Even then, in 2001, 2002, that just kind of happened, right? Like, they didn't make the playoffs for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years before that.
Yeah.
So that came out of nowhere. Of course, they did make quite a few acquisitions of some, you know, some veterans in that season, but, like, no one knew if it was going to work. This is, like you said, a culmination of a lot of things, and them going, like, okay, we know where we're at. We know what to fix. Boom, we fixed. We're at a point now where we fixed it all, and the eyes are firmly focused on that thing that you're saying but don't want to say.
Exactly. And, like, even the other times, you know, previously in the 2000s that they made the playoffs, like, the expectation just never was there. Like, they made the play in 06, 07. We knew that wasn't going anywhere. 2012-13, yeah, they gave us a pretty good series against the Penguins, but let's be honest here, like, that they weren't a Stanley Cup team. 2014-15 was maybe a little bit different because they started that year ridiculously hot and then kind of fell off. So that one was a little bit strange. Expectation was pretty high then. And then I guess going to the second round in 15-16, but I just felt like that team couldn't get over the hump because of who was leading them. And rightfully so, behind the bench and calling the shots as general manager. But this is just, it's very much different.
For some reason, I thought you were taking a shot at 91. And I was like, where's he going with this?
No.
And then I got it. Yeah, you were not taking a shot at that top. But, like, anyways, I got
Yes. But it completely different feel. And that's why I am where I am right now.
Yeah, no. So I kind of feel the same way. They're in that top tier group of teams that should be competing for a specific prize that we won't name. I'm not going to say that they should win it, but they're in a core of four teams that you should have up there. And of course, you know, the national media won't have them in there. They have them in a top six right now. Like, they have to go the rest of the season unbeaten for them to, like, crack the top four, I would imagine. But that shouldn't matter to us because they are where they are by merit. And it feels great for them to be there.
Absolutely. And anything else on the legitimacy of this team?
No. We could break it down by player, and I think we'll start with one specifically, and just kind of end it there with that one player today. But knowing that it is built to do what it is doing, and it is great to see it happening because, like, there were so many naysayers for so long.
Absolutely. And speaking of people who had naysayers, that's a perfect transition into this next topic because we want to pump some air into the tires of Anders Lee, who's been playing phenomenal this year. Before the goal scoring barrage that he's been on the last few games here, even Barry Trotz came out and said, like, he's been their most consistent forward, one of their most consistent players on the team. And Anders Lee being back to being on that 35 plus goal pace after a 20-goal season last year is exactly what the Islanders need, and it's awesome. I love seeing Anders Lee playing at this level because he deserves it. He plays the game the right way. He plays hard. He's a good captain. Like, he's easy to root for. So to see that success come along with it is awesome. I'm loving it.
Specifically because he had that kind of those detractors, right? Like, the contract, it was a big contract, but, like, for the type of player he was, it made sense.
Yes.
Remember, his closest comparable was Jeff Skinner, and Jeff Skinner has one goal on the year and a $9 million price point for the next six seasons, regardless of how long it is. It's long. But Anders Lee came under that, right? Like, $7 million. It's not where Lou wanted to go, and it's not as long as Lou wanted to go. It's a little bit longer and heavier in the price point, but damn it, it's worth it. When you look at the production he's scoring, yes, last year wasn't, but last year was definitely an outlier for him.
And that's the thing. Like, I feel like so many people, and I've written about it a couple times on the site, but it's good to get it out in podcast form because I feel like we could talk through it easier. But so many people looked at his numbers last year and said, oh, that's it. He's declined. That's it. He's never going to be the player he once was. When there's so many outlier things in that season. One, his shooting percentage overall, not just 5-on-5 power play, all situations were at like 10%, which was like 3-4 percentage points off where he normally is, which is strange. And then when you look at the the power play, when he was at 7 and change, his next lowest was like 14% on the power play in his first year in the league in 13-14. Like, yeah, how do we not look at that as a massive outlier? How do you go, you know what? He's just going to score 2 power play goals for the rest of his career. Like, what? What do you mean? How does that make any sense, Mitch?
It doesn't. You're absolutely right. Good on you for remembering all those stats, because you're absolutely right. 14.29% shooting percentage in 13-14 when he played 21 games. Yes. And that's like his second year in the league. Technically, the first year was 12-13 when he played two games. So that doesn't even really count. But still, like, he's shooting at 27.27% this year, which is high. This is at the power play.
Mm-hmm.
That's high, sure, but like, he's got 2 years there where he's shooting at 21%. So like, it's going to come down for sure. And even if he shoots at 16%, that's not terrible. But to me, the big takeaway is that he's shooting. He's shooting on the power play. He had 28 shots on the on the power play last year. He has 11 this year. 11.
Yeah, that's, geez, there's a big difference. And he's capitalizing on those shots that he's getting. Like, he just didn't have any luck last year on the power play. Those deflections were just going right into the chest of the goalie, where now he's getting in good spots and those deflections are going home, which is what's supposed to happen.
He's being a little bit more deceptive with his play in the front. Like, you had that kind of ghosting goal on the Sabres the other day when he ghosted Kyle Okposo, right? Goes mm-hmm. behind the net, comes back in the front. And that's what he needs to do, because it's all well and good that you get to the front of the net, but the longer you're there, the easier it is for a defenseman to spot you and try to, like, you know, hook your stick, get something on your stick, move you out of the way, or try to at least, mm-hmm. you know, disrupt you. But if you don't give them the chance to adequately respond to your presence, you increase your ability to convert that pass into a goal exponentially. And that's what he's doing this year. He's still parking in front of the net because that's what he does, but he's being smarter about it. And you can see it's paying handsomely. Again, 27.27% on the power play. When it comes to 5-on-5, it's even higher than that. What the hell did I just do? I pressed the wrong button here. Sorry, bring it up here. 12.5% at 5-on-5, which is low for him. That's low.
Right, but he's still been productive because of that uptick on the power play, which you would imagine that they're going to begin to even out, but the 5-on-5 go up and the power play come down a little bit.
Yeah, like, he's shooting a lot. He's got 64 shots on the season already. This is 5-on-5, sorry. 64 shots at 5-on-5 in 26 games. That puts him on pace for 138 shots over the year. He had 150 last year at 5-on-5 in 68 games. He had 130. His career high at 5-on-5 is 157 in 76 games back in 14-15.
Right, which that was when he scored 25 goals as his quote-unquote rookie season.
Yeah, he's on pace to hit 200 shots on goal at 5-on-5 only.
See, and that's another thing. I'm glad you brought up the shots, because a lot of people point to the power forwards declining at 30 years old, and I get that. But usually what happens, too, the goals go down and the number of chances, as in the number of shots they're getting, goes like off a cliff. Anders Lee's shots are not going down. They are either right the same or going up. Which, to me, that doesn't scream decline. That screams, hey, this guy is still a productive player.
Yeah, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's going to be a decline at some point. We all expect that. It would be stupid to say, like, he's going to be a 40-goal scorer for the rest of his contract. God, I hope he will. But, like, we have to be honest here. When a power forward hits the 30s, you're going, oh, there's going to be a decline some year, and it's going to be ugly when he hits it. But at this point, he has not. It's not here yet. It probably won't be based on the way he's playing. I wouldn't expect it to happen next year either. But after that, that's when I'm going to start to worry. Although he hits 40 goals this year and he does what we said they might do in the first segment, it's worth it, man.
Yes, it is. Even if you have to live through the last 3 years of that contract, if you get a productive four, because that's what this is his what? This is his second year on the contract, I guess?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So, do you buy another two good years from Anders Lee? I would. I'd buy another two,
yeah. And okay. Then you're over half of the deal, and then you roll the dice in the last three. We all know that was going to happen when it went to 7 years. Like, the other half of the deal was going to be a roll of the dice, how it was going to work out.
Right, but I don't think, well, at least for me, I know that some people right away we're like, oh my god, this is giving me Andrew Ladd vibes. That wasn't my case. Like, I didn't think the whole contract was going to be a complete disaster, but if it's rough the last 2 years, but they do what we talked about earlier, like, then it doesn't matter. Like, you have to retain your guys to a certain extent, and it's not that crazy when you look at what the market value was on a guy like Jeff Skinner, who got $9 million. Like, that's the thing that I could never wrap my head around either.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of the deal. Like, that was a little bit more money and longer than I would have given for Anders Lee. But I understood the position that the Islanders were in. I'm not a huge fan of 7x7 for Anders Lee. I don't think it's going to be great in the later years. But I was aware that, you know, for the first couple of years, it's probably going to be okay. And that's what we're seeing right now. It's not even okay. It's great. If he can hit 38 goals or a pace of 38 this year, that's money well spent for 38 goals. Not a lot of players can do that. So far, so good. Yes, it's going to be painful at some point. But you're right. Like, when you look at the market out there, they underpaid, technically speaking.
Yes. So absolutely, I've been eating up the Anders Lee success. So that and JG Pageau, the two of them just putting it right in the face of the haters, and it's tremendous.
Constantly, like, prends someone else is what he's saying every time he scores a goal. Spasses de trochaire, boom, boom, Arvlaner note, boom. Just constantly popping in goals. God, Jean-Gabriel Pageau. He needs a stable left wing. He needs a stable left wing. We've got a stable righty. We need a stable lefty for him.
I'm with you. That would take it to a completely different level.
Sorry. Stable and productive lefty.
Agree. Yes. Yes. Someone who's not going to be Leo Komarov.
Yeah. Like, Leo's great when Brad Marchand is on the ice, but we've already played the Bruins 4 times. There's only 4 more games against them. Like, and even then, how effective is that really?
Yeah, not very. Anything else on Anders Lee's play so far this year, or are we good?
It's just good stuff again, like, to see the captain being the, like, actually leading the team in production. And it's not to say, like, he's so far ahead of everyone else. Like you mentioned at the start, like, there's 5 guys with at least 9 goals on the year now. That's great. And he's leading the charge of the goal scoring. It's good to see. Deserved captain, just great dude all around. Good stuff, and long may it live.
Absolutely. So let's get to Down on the Farm. Mitch, what do you got for us this week in the farm system?
So Henrik Tikkanen is putting up incredible numbers over in Liga. He's got 5 games under his belt now, so it's not a whole lot, but enough to be like, there's something going on here. 5 games, he's on loan to Kalpa of the SM Liga from his Mestis side. The loan started because the Mestis League was out for a while. The COVID scare had them not play. Right. They're finally back and playing, but he's still there and it seems like he's making the trip back and forth, kind of like Alexander Ljungkrantz is doing with Stromsbro and Brynäs.
Okay.
But it seems that he's stuck there now for a little, not stuck there, but like he's That's with he Kalpa is. For a while now. But like, here are his numbers: 5 games played, averaging a 1.91 goals against average and a 9.29 save percentage.
Okay, I live with that.
It's pretty damn good. He's a backup right now. He's a backup, but like, he's a 20-year-old goalie, and he plays well. He's big. He's 6'8", 201.
There you go.
Big kid. Big kid. I wouldn't be, if this continues and he gets a few more games in, I'm going to talk to their GM. I've got his number. I plan on calling him in the next couple of days, and then to speak to their coach to find out a little bit more about him. But if this continues and he plays like this throughout the rest of the season for Kalpa, I wouldn't be surprised if the Islanders bring him to North America to start, you know, seeing if there's something more to him than just being good at the Finnish level.
That'd be exciting to get him over.
Yeah, I'm not saying like he's going to start in Bridgeport or anything. He might even end up in the ECHL, but I wouldn't be surprised. Again, because they only have 2 goalies in their system, right? Like they have other guys like Mutt and Appleby that they've signed to AHL contracts, but these are guys that they have drafted, and it's only Skarik and Tikkanen. So I wouldn't be surprised if they bring him in next year when the ECHL should be back up and running.
I'm with you. I think that makes a lot of sense.
So like that's a good update. It's good to see a 7th round pick doing something, specifically with the Islanders not so good draft going on last year. Apparently, I'm using air quotes there. After that, William Dufour is out again with an injury. Last I heard, they don't know what how serious of an injury it is, but he took a hit on the knee and left the game. When I spoke to the team, they told me there was so much swelling around it, they had to wait for it to go down before they could even look at it. So that's not good. And he's going to miss some times. It's no longer a bobo like it was last week.
Yeah, what happened to it was just a boo-boo.
He came back, and then he scored, of course.
Yep.
But then immediately left, immediately took a hit on the knee, and he's out. For how long, I don't know, but it doesn't look great so far.
Okay. Yikes. Okay, speedy recovery for him, hopefully.
Hopefully so. And the last one, I think I brought it up last week with Russell Nisikov, and I'm going to do it again. The kid is scoring again. Got another primary assist in his last game. Took a huge hit to set it up. So he's down low along the boards behind the goal line. Guy comes right into him. Probably should have been a boarding call after the call, after the goal, but like whatever. He makes a pass along the boards to the winger, who does the dipsy doodle around some defenders and scores. But like, he sacrificed his body to make the play, and you saw him after the goal, like he's wincing in pain and just like, oh yeah, I'm celebrating. Oh, this is great. Oh god, I'm gonna die. But guy's got 4 points in four games. Now has 38 over his last. Sorry, not four. 38. 28 over his last 40 games, or in his 40 games total in Finland. Just playing really, really well and turning it up for TPS.
Good. Now, I did have a question about another Islanders prospect that I was hoping to get your take on. Not that you're going to have any info on it, but thoughts on Otto Koivula being a scratch today for Andrew Ladd?
Yeah, but he hasn't really been playing well for Bridgeport, he being Otto Koivula. But it's interesting to see Ladd play, right? Like, all of a sudden, now Ladd's back, and you're going, okay, why hasn't he played a single game? You got an NHL veteran with the Stanley Cup who's healthy, it seems, healthy enough to play. He didn't play him once yet? Okay, whatever. It just seems weird.
Is Andrew Ladd's role to just play whenever Prospect X, insert name here, needs a jump or a jolt, a wake-up call of sorts? Like, is that it? And is he going to play, like, six games this year?
He might, just enough not to, not enough to get, what is it? What's the word I'm looking for here? Just enough to, so we don't think like, oh, he's going to be definitely, retire next year, right? Because of LTIR. And, no, apparently not. I'm just reading now some quotes here from Brent Thompson, who spoke to Michael Fornabio, and says, we wanted to make sure he, got a watch from up top, he being Koivula. It's a developmental piece where he's got to learn a few things and have the opportunity to come back in and hopefully correct it. Something to share in that? It's between him and I, says Brent Thompson. So, like, not happy with Otto Koivula, says Brent Thompson, basically. For what? We don't really know, but, like, something's going on there where he doesn't like what Otto Koivula is doing and is trying to get something out of him and is playing Andrew Ladd for it. I don't think he got it out of him because Andrew Ladd, from what I saw, I was kind of broken between a couple of things. I don't think Andrew Ladd played particularly well, nor did the rest of the Bridgeport team, to be fair.
Is a Brent Seabrook option in his future?
I hope so from an Islanders perspective, but I don't really, I don't know. He's playing, right? Like, so that already doesn't look good from an LTIR perspective, because you're going, he's healthy enough to play at some level. This can't be like, oh, he can't play at all. He's playing. Not well, but like, did anyone expect him to?
No, that's true.
So it's not going particularly well for Bridgeport all around, just not good stuff. Bodie Wild had a really rough play today that I shared on Twitter. The entire team isn't really playing well. Jakub Skarik is maybe the best player on that team, I would say.
Okay. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, so not good things going on from Bridgeport. I saw a lot, of course, they lost. A lot of people are saying Brent Thompson needs to go. And while I won't necessarily disagree with that, I don't think that Brent Thompson per se is the problem, but perhaps a shakeup is needed, just because like he's been there long enough. I think they just need a change of culture, and I don't want to use that as he's not bringing about the proper culture. I just think a change is needed, perhaps
a new voice. Maybe Johnny Boychuk could step behind the bench.
perhaps if Johnny wants to get into coaching, that would be something. But like, leave it to the Islanders to give an ex-player an important role in the organization, eh?
Absolutely, it'd be very on brand. I was just a little bit curious about what you thought about Koivula, so I figured I'd ask.
Yeah, no, intriguing. I don't know what he's hoping to get out of Koivula, which we'll see. But the same thing going on with Josh Rosang out in Sweden, who also was a healthy scratch for Linköping, and that made people lose their minds for good reason. But you know, maybe not losing their minds in the right place. He was a healthy scratch for Linköping in his fifth game. He did not play well defensively in the first game. Like, he scored, which is great, but you know, he still has to play defense. And a lot of people are going to like, oh, I'm tired of hearing a Hosang. Sorry, like, he signed to a contract, so when something happens, we feel that you'll probably want to know. You don't want to know? Just move along.
Plug your ears.
Exactly. So that's the last one down on the farm that I've got.
All right, let's get into the quiz, Mitch.
As we do every week, I have a mystery New York Islander for you, Matt, to guess based somehow on the show episode that we are on. So, Matt, are you ready to guess the mystery Islander?
Yes.
All right. So this is show 186. So it has something to do with that. You have five clues. They get progressively easier as they go along. Clue number one. I was a fifth round pick by Vancouver in 1992.
Next.
Two. I came to the Islanders in the Mathieu Biron trade with Tampa back in 2001.
In 2001. Okay, next.
I played for seven teams, and my last year for the Isles was my best with 44 points as a defenseman.
Next.
I repped the Islanders at the 2004 All-Star Game and tied Sheldon Surrey for the hardest shot. So that 2004 year was his big year where he had the 44 points.
Kenny Johnson?
Ooh, good guess, but incorrect.
That era of defense, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm no. Okay, go ahead.
Five. I'm not in AA, but those are my initials.
Yeah, it's oh my god. I just had it.
You got it.
AA. Oh my god. Oh my god. No, my brain is doing it to me again.
Adrian
O'Coin. I knew O'Coin. I couldn't think of the first name. I was AC was in my mind. I had O'Coin. It went out, and I was like, no, it's AC. I couldn't think of Adrian. There we go. O'Coin.
I'm going to give you an honorary, you got it right.
That was a piss poor effort for me there at the end. The brain just shut off, but I really had O'Coin in my head. I couldn't think of the first name. That's what threw me.
I hate those moments where you're like, I know it's there. It's in the brain, but the tongue won't like my mouth.
It wouldn't compute. My brain really shut off for a second. That was bad. And we got that on live podcast form. That's the best part about this. For you, the listener, you get to hear, I was going to say see, but you get to hear both Mitch and I, like our fails just right there. A brain shut off. How many times we can't do math. We have brain farts like that. It just happens, man.
Yeah, we could edit it out if we really wanted to, but we don't want to. Like, you're getting pretty live, like as live as you can get from us right here on this.
No, we're just two guys hanging out. We have our flaws, just like everyone else. So we are maybe more flawed than you, but we just
perhaps
getting it out there. So let's get into the social segment, Mitch. What do we got around Isles Twitter?
First one here comes from Jason Kopp. I'm just bringing up the tweet. It says it's from Ellen DeGeneres, not from Ellen. Ellen tweets something out saying, what's everyone watching right now? It says that on March 6th. And Jason Kopp replies, Matthew Barzal going off.
Perfect. Yes. I definitely watched that a few times. Not going to lie.
That was good. Oh, what a game by Matthew Barzal on that day, huh? Oh, my word.
That goal is just perfect. Put that on my tombstone, please.
What do you got?
My first one is tremendous news from ESPN, Mitch. They not only is hockey returning to ESPN, but the iconic theme song is coming back to. I'm just going to be reliving my childhood, and I am very excited.
Yeah, so I don't get as excited about it as a Canadian, obviously, as you guys do, just as we had TSN and stuff here. But, like, I still did watch ESPN because on Saturday, I picture it as Saturday matinee games, right? Okay. I'm, like, at my Uncle Dennis's house, and the Boston Bruins and Philadelphia Flyers are playing Saturday at 2 or whatever. That's what, and it's on ESPN. That's what I remember. I'm stoked. It's more money for the league, right? $400 million a year. Good stuff.
Oh my God. That to me, that theme is a top three sports theme for me.
Hockey night in Canada all day, every day. It's not even close. I don't even care who number two and three are. It doesn't matter. Number one, hockey night in Canada. Don't even talk to me about anything else.
I think I got to go, Fox NFL. And CBS NFL are 1 and 2. And then the ESPN hockey theme is 3.
Fair enough. Okay. On that, my second one is ESPN related, but this is from Will Shikursi. Oh, God, Will, I'm sorry if I screwed up your name. I'm really sorry. The most memorable Isles game that aired on an ESPN channel, and he says the Sean Bates game, right?
That's
where he
right.
scores the shootout. That's huge.
Yes.
Or not the shootout, the penalty shot.
The penalty shot.
Not the shootout.
Yes, but I forgot. That was also obviously the playoff game. But yes, that was the ESPN. And that to me, early 2000s, ESPN, both synonymous in my eyes.
And there's other ones, right? Like some people answered, well, the David Vola game, wasn't that on ESPN, right? Where he scores that OT winner against the Penguins?
I guess it was, yeah.
Right? Like mid-90s, right? That would have been 93, was it not?
Yeah.
So just... I'm glad it's getting back mainly for the American audience because that's kind of like the nostalgia is coming back for y'all. And I'm super happy about it, but like it barely registered for me, unfortunately.
Gotcha.
We outside of the $400 million a year. That's huge.
Perfect. My last one for you, Mitch, is a trivia question for you. You usually quiz me, so I'm going to quiz you. Do you know what happened 41 years ago today?
41 years ago today? So what is that, 1970? Or I can't do math. This is not a math podcast.
1980.
No. 1980 was 41 years ago?
Yeah.
Holy cow. I that should have been automatic. I'm 36. I was born in 84. Anyways, no, clearly I have no idea.
41 years ago today, Isles general manager Bill Torrey acquired Butch Goring from the LA Kings.
Yes, that was today?
Today, 41 Oof. Years ago.
What a trade that was, my God.
There you go. So, Butchie, welcome to the fam anniversary, 41 years ago today.
41 years young as an Islander, just... What a trade that was, right? Like,
yeah.
Hints of Peugeot right there. Like, it didn't have the same impact, but, like, you're getting a center... The one piece you're missing, you pay a lot to get him, but damn it, he makes an impact for sure.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. Good comparison.
My third and final one here comes from Isles Girl, so Kim, who says, Wallstrom's nickname on the team is the Walligator. And that was revealed via some sleuthing on Instagram where so there's a picture on Oliver Wallstrom's Insta where he says, when Mikey has his famous Italian dish, hashtag outstanding, and it's him like, ah, cheering. And in the comments, you've got Dobson with the gator. So it's an emoji of an alligator. And then Dal Cole says, Walligator, alligator, alligator. And so a nickname is born.
I am very much here for the Walligator. I love it.
We were talking about that on the Patreon the other day. So shameless plug, you know, subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/eyesonisles. I always screw that one up. We were talking about that. What would be a good nickname for Oliver Wallstrom? I thought after the fact of Eaton or Eaton's, because Butchie, when he talks about the toy department, he's picturing Eaton's, the department store, because their toy department is always on the top floor.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is 1,000 times better. Walligator, outstanding.
Love it. Absolutely. I'm here for it.
What's yours? What's your last one?
That was it. I had two.
Perfect.
So you ended it off. So I'll get our plugs in here. So before we go, please make sure to give a rating, review, subscribe wherever you listen to the show. It really helps us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS. My Twitter account is Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You can visit the website, eyesonisles.com, or check out the Patreon, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. $5 a month gets you a post-game show for every single game, a mailbag show, which we're about to record right after this, where it's a Q&A segment, a live stream with Mitch, predictions. There's a whole lot of fun stuff going on over on Patreon, worth checking out for sure, right, Mitch?
Yeah, I've kind of scaled back the live stream just because we've been doing it for a while and we haven't been able to get a cup. We went balls to the wall. We did everything we could to build a cup contender and we still got bounced in the second round. So we're kind of done with it. But I've got another idea cooking to take its place. Just I've got to flush it out. But I've got an idea cooking instead of a live stream.
Okay, so we have a moral of the story, tons of content going on over there.
Correct.
So that's going to do it for us on this episode 186. Thanks for hanging out. I'm Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson. And we'll talk to you next time.